T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It'll be kind of like a hybrid Red Sox review, Celtics recap up until midnight as the Red Sox lost a very tough game in New York. They battled back and forth. Second straight night was very good, very competitive, intense. You can't have playoff like baseball in May. I get that. But intense, felt like important baseball, and the Red Sox found their way back with a lead in the eighth inning. Couldn't add on to insurance runs, second and third, nobody out in the top of the inning and then the bottom of the inning. They give up 4 runs, capped off by an Aaron Judge 2-run blast, and a good win turns into a bad loss. 9-6 your final at the stadium. You want to react to the Red Sox, I'm sure many of you will. We'll get your calls in there at 617-779-7937. On the other end of the spectrum is what happened tonight at the Boston Garden, where I give the Philadelphia 76ers a lot of credit. I had this penciled in as a runaway Celtic blowout win. Before the game, I felt that way. And then right at halftime, the Celtics went on a 19-6 run, extended their lead out to 11 at the break, and it just, you felt like this thing is over. The 76ers are dumb. They're young. They don't know what's going on with right now. They're ready to pack it in. They're thinking about Aruba. Or whatever their winter, their postseason summer vacation is, they're on that beach, wherever that beach is, they were already there. And lo and behold, here come the 76ers in the second half, and Ben Simmons is making shots, and Redick is making shots, and Saric's making shots, Ilyasova's making threes. And the 76ers played their ass off in the second half, and the Celtics had to play in that final 24 minutes. In fact, the 76ers at one point, late in the third, early fourth, had the lead, and Joel Embiid's making plays down there in the post. But the Celtics made the big plays late, led by Al Horford, led by Marcus Smart, after Jalen Rose carried them, Jalen Brown, in the third quarter. It was Al Horford, and it was Marcus Smart. It really was everybody during that Celtic third and fourth quarter. They had to play really, really well, made a lot of smart plays down the stretch. Capped off by some huge plays by Smart and Tatum and Jalen Brown and Al Horford. In the end, 114-112 your final. They beat a 76er team that did not quit tonight. And in doing so, they improbably advanced to an Eastern Conference final. I had them losing potential in the first round of the Bucks. I smartened up and picked them to win the second round. But it was not supposed to be easy, and they were terrific tonight in the second half. Made just some huge plays, some great adjustments by Brad Stevens. Early in the fourth quarter, they got Al Horford matched up with some post plays to Saric. They got some one-on-one situations for both Brown and Tatum in big spots down the stretch, and got some huge rebounds, huge defensive play by Marcus Smart, huge three by Terry Rozier at one point late in this game. And it was the Celtics having to make plays late. There was this series, this game, was not handed to the Boston Celtics. The 76ers battled in this one. A team I thought was going to quit whenever the pressure got tough here in the second half. Hell, at the end of the first half, when the Celtics went on that run, when Rozier hit that three at the buzzer at the end of the first half, thought, oh, that's it, forget it. 76ers done. But Simmons then starts hitting some crazy shots in the second half. Then the fourth quarter, you got that Tatum really tough layup to make it 111-109. In the end, the Celtics hold off, a couple of free throws late. Baseball pass, can't get it done. Intercepted by, guess who, Marcus Smart, who had a huge game for this team. I'm not even looking at the box score right now. I don't care what the box score says. He scored. He set up alley-oops for Horford. He found guys in the corner like Baines for open threes. He made huge defensive plays. In fact, the last defensive play when Brett Brown got a Saric, Marcus Smart matchup, I think they probably liked that matchup, but Sarek took probably an extra dribble or two and then banged it to Smart. He dove like he took a charge. No call either way, but the ball gets away. Horford scoops it up. It was Tatum the layup the other way. Set up by guess who? Marcus Smart, who was largely important. And so a playoff run with no Kyrie Irving, no Gordon Hayward, no Daniel Tice to a lesser extent, no Shane Larkin to an even larger extent here for much of this series. And the Boston Celtics, who are a 4.5-1 underdog to win this series, get a gentleman's sweep of the Philadelphia 76ers, send home the process, and now it is the Celtics against LeBron for the chance to go to the NBA Finals. And in Game 1, the line is opened up Celtics minus 1. The Celtics, at least to open up, are favored against LeBron James and the Cavaliers in Game 1. A series that will start on Mother's Day afternoon at 3:30. I don't know why it's not a prime time, but that thing will start Sunday afternoon, 3:30 at the Garden. Get your tickets for LeBron against the Celtics. And what feels like worst-case scenario is a 7-game series. But plenty of time to break that down. Watch your reaction to the Red Sox loss in New York and the Celtics win here tonight at 617-779-7937. The phone number on Twitter. Follow there and tweet anytime at Mutt, M-U-T, W-E-E-I. We'll get to your phone calls here after I get this mouse. Because the mouse is never, ever, ever in front of this computer to take your phone calls. Jeff in New York's been on the line since we started the show. He's first up on Red Sox Review, Sports Radio WEEI. We are reacting to the Red Sox loss in New York and the Celtics win and advancing to the Eastern Conference Finals in the NBA postseason. Jeff, good evening.
Good evening. Embarrassing. Big-time Red Sox fan in New York City.
Yeah.
This is just an embarrassing loss. Matt Barnes has to go, and Dave Dombrowski is an overrated GM. He doesn't reinforce our bullpen, and this is why he failed in Detroit. This is why Detroit never won, because he didn't reinforce the bullpen with proper guys. Tell me one trade he made to bring in some stars in our bullpen and reinforce them and make it a stronger bullpen.
He traded for Craig Kimbrell.
Yeah, but Craig, who else? That was last year.
This past offseason, he didn't do anything. They're hoping that Tyler Thornburg and Carson Smith come back. Yeah.
Right, and Matt Barnes is a disaster.
He had given up one run in his last 9 outings before tonight.
Well, I'm pissed.
You can be pissed, Jeff, and I think it's a bigger discussion about Dave Dombrowski. I would agree about your major point. They never replaced Addison Reed is the guy that I'm thinking of. They never replaced Addison Reed at the back end of the bullpen. Eventually, maybe Tyler Thornburg replaces him. Maybe. Until then, they're an arm short in the bullpen. And if you want to tell me Matt Barnes can't be relied upon on the road, I would buy it. He's been awfully good since about the middle of April. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. One run allowed in his last 9 outings. Lowered his ERA from 5.79 down to 2.5 after the scoreless outing in Texas over the weekend. On the road, he's been a question the last couple of years. 8th inning, maybe not his spot. You can use him. The issue tonight was certainly Matt Barnes, and Matt Barnes not throwing strikes. You want to bang on Matt Barnes tonight, go for it. But I can't take one bad outing in a month and tell you Matt Barnes has to go. They need an arm. What they need is Tyler Thornburg, who's letting it up down to AAA. They need him to come back. They need Tyler Thornburg to be really, really good. They need Thornburg to be their 8th inning guy because they don't have that guy. Like, say, for example, Craig Kimbrell got through that spot tonight. Craig Kimbrell came on 1st and 3rd, 1 out in the 8th inning. There's a chance that they wanted him to just get those 2 outs and then let somebody else close the game in the 9th. Who the hell was taking the ball in the 9th inning? Smith had pitched, Barnes had pitched. What, Joe Kelly going to pitch the 9th? Who was pitching the 9th? So to Jeff's point, he may have said it a little bit more aggressively than I would. Dave Dombrowski needs to start hoping. He's begging, quite frankly, that Tyler Thornburg comes back and can be the guy that they expect him to be. If not, they are definitely an arm short to the back end of that bullpen. Mike in North Providence in the Red Sox lineup. Hey, Mike.
How are you doing there, Mutt?
What's up?
I mean, I might as well stick with it being critical of Cora, because I'm going to tell you, I'm not happy with Brad with how he coached this game. But anyways, with regards to the Red Sox lineup, I think that, you know, you hear people say, oh, drop Mookie down, which is, to me, a bad move. But the guy, even despite the fact he had a home run today, did drop down is Hanley. I mean, if you see, like, Devers was batting eighth today. And the whole reason that he's batting eighth is he wants to have Moreland in there. And he wants to have Bogaerts batting fifth. And he's like, why? If I have Moreland.
Well, you didn't want Moreland in there today?
No, listen. It's because Moreland's batting sixth behind Bogaerts. And then I want to go. I don't want to have two lefties in a row, so I'm going to have Nunez bat seventh, and then I'll have Devers bat eighth. But that's ridiculous, having Devers behind Nunez, you know. And it's one of these things. If Bogaerts jumps to the three hole, and you drop Hanley down to six, and then put Moreland in five, you know what I'm saying? And then you can push, you know, Devers up to the seventh spot. Then that makes a lot more sense. You see, trying to keep Hanley in the number three spot is the reason Devers is batting eighth. This is what's going on here.
Well, they're trying to get Hanley going at three. I don't think that's going to change. I agree with you that I'd like to see more flexibility, and I'm glad Moreland was in there tonight, and I wanted him in there last night in the seventh inning, Mike, and thanks for the call. They need to get Hanley going. I mean, it's his first home run since April 14th. He is scuffled. I didn't have the biggest problem that Mike did with the lineup tonight. For Hanley, though, he can't be his first home run in a month. He's got to find it here. He has skated from the slings and arrows of Red Sox fans because they have 25 wins in their first 36 games, whatever it is. But he's got to start hitting more home runs. He is a major, major factor right now for this team, or needs to be a much bigger factor than he is right now. Let's go to Wally in Fall River on the Red Sox. Hey, Wally.
Yeah, what's up, Mutt?
What's up, bud?
You know, Hanley hit that bomb. I felt good. I thought we were going to win this game. We had a chance to tack on some insurance runs. Maybe it would have changed the way Kimbrel came in, how he added on two or three runs.
Oh, they had a huge opportunity. Top of the eighth inning, second right. And third, nobody out. Devers strikes out. He can't advance a runner, can't get a fly ball. Vasquez strikes out. Shocker there. And with the bases loaded, can't get anything done. That was a rough spot there in the top of the eighth inning, and it cost them in the bottom of the eighth inning.
I mean, that alone would give you an ulcer. But this Yankee lineup, you can't walk, guys. We've got some good hitters and a good lineup, but the Yankees are dangerous. I mean, nobody can stop these guys right now. But you look in the offseason, like the other caller said, you had a boatload of decent relievers you could have gotten. It wouldn't cost you nothing just to sign them. I'm not holding my breath over Tyler Thornburg, but Kimbrel definitely does need some help in that bullpen.
Yeah, I know he gave it up tonight, and he'll probably get some crap tomorrow from Red Sox fans. And he's got he has to have better location than he did. I have no problem with putting Craig Kimbrel in that spot tonight. That was the biggest spot of the game, first and third, eighth inning. Maybe he's got to be better at pitching in the eighth inning. The location sucked. The location sucked. Go back and look. The fastballs were center cut against both Brett Gardner and Aaron Judge. And I don't care if it's 96, 97, 98. Right down the middle against those type of hitters, they're going to make you pay. And they did. Right idea, bad result for Craig Kimbrel. He was part of the issue tonight as well. It was set up by UConn's Matt Barnes, who went 2-0 to all three guys he faced. And gave up the ringing double and the ground ball and the walk. Two base runners, three batters. Didn't get his job done. Put Craig Kimbrel in a brutal spot. Kimbrel didn't come through, but Barnes put him in a pretty tough spot there. Let's go to David in Florida on the Red Sox tonight. Hi, David.
Hey.
Whatever
happened to Brandon Workman quickly?
Ooh, might be out of baseball? No. He's at Pawtucket, right?
I don't know, but he was very promising.
I like questions like that. Hold on a second here. I'll find him out. I'll find it. Go ahead.
But at any rate, yeah, I mean, I would have brought in Kelly to get the strikeout in the eighth inning. And I would have, I mean, I know you can second guess that, and it's not the worst thing in the world.
Wait, what would you have done?
I would have brought in Kelly to get the strikeout in the eighth inning instead of your UConn guy with Barnes.
So you would have pitched Kelly in the eighth. Got it. Okay.
Yeah. because I mean, but again, they didn't produce in the eighth inning when they had second and third with one out, and I mean,
second and third, nobody out. They get Devers and Vasquez. One of the guys puts the ball in play. You've got to run. Neither both guys struck out back to back and looked bad doing it.
And what was also the purpose of pinch hitting Brock Holt for Leon? I mean, that seemed minuscule.
Because Leon's hitting 171, David. Brock Holt's hitting over 300.
I didn't know Leon was only hitting one. Okay. But quickly about the Celtics, too.
Yeah.
But this is fabulous what they're doing. And, I mean, do you think Brad Stevens is the best coach since Auerbach? Maybe number two? I mean, he's just doing an incredibly phenomenal job.
I don't know. Well, historically, I have a chance to rank him at some point. He's in the conversation as one of the best coaches in the NBA. For Coach of the Year, I think I saw this today, the other coaches vote. He didn't get a vote. His peers did not vote for Brad Stevens, which is a very weird result given the season they had. Kyrie Irving didn't play down the stretch. No Gordon Hayward, and still they're right there at the top of the Eastern Conference. They're going to have home court in the Eastern Conference Finals over the Cavs and LeBron. So I don't know historically where he ranks with Auerbach. I'm the wrong guy to ask, having not watched Auerbach coach a game. But I would say to get this team to the Eastern Conference Final, I can't think of in recent NBA memory a team in an Eastern Conference Final that was superstarless. Now, maybe Jason Tatum's a superstar at some point. I know that people think Al Horford is better than average. Okay. But there's no Kyrie Irving, no Gordon Hayward, no LeBron, certainly. Not even a Ben Simmons right now, who is thought of as a better player than Jason Tatum. And they're in the Eastern Conference Final. That's pretty impressive. Jose is down in the Dominican on the Red Sox. Hey, Jose.
Hi, how are you?
What's up, buddy?
I don't have any problems with Cora playing the lineups around, but I think he's given Vasquez too much time to get hot. And I'm glad he put JBJ on the bench today, and hopefully he can work with him, as he was saying today, and work on his mechanics. But Vasquez, yesterday he let him hit on the ninth inning with men on base.
Yep.
With the game down by one run, having Holt on the bench and even Moreland. And today he did it again. I mean, the guy's hitting less than 200. He's not going to get hot all of a sudden. You got to play your game with the things that you have there. And I know he had lost, he had already his second catcher in the game. But, you know, get Swihart in the game and let's see if we get something going.
Well, see, and that's the problem, Jose.
He's been mixing up the lineup, and I don't have any problems with that. But with some of the guys, he's been very patient. And I think it's time to give it up with Vasquez.
See, and I think the issue, Jose, it's a good call and call back anytime. I was thinking the same thing when they let Vasquez hit in the eighth inning, and then you start to move forward and think, okay, then that means Blake Swihart is going to be catching the eighth and ninth innings of a one-run game in New York. I understand he's a serviceable catcher. I would not feel great about that. So I think the trade-off of Vasquez hitting for then him catching is worth it, because Vasquez, he didn't have to do a lot. Get a ball in the air, hit a ground ball to the right side, and a run is home. It's second and third, one out after Devers had struck out. So that should not have been a hard spot for Vasquez. Your bigger picture about Vasquez, the catcher, I have been pro-Vasquez for a couple of years. As a lot of smart people have told me that, let Swihart go back there, let him learn, much better offensive catcher. And my thing was always, well, Vasquez can call a good game and better defensive catcher. I don't know, man. I'm not sure if that defensive part of it and the game calling for him now outweighs the offensive inefficiency, at least right now. So I would be all for Blake Swihart. Probably won't happen in New York, but in Toronto, I would love to see Swihart get a game or two behind the plate. Completely agree with Jose about that. Full phones. We'll come back at your calls on the Celtics and the Red Sox, 617-779-7937. Two notes before the break. Number one, if we had a trending tonight, Chris Scheim, it would have been our weather would have been presented by NewEnglandFatLoss.com. And newsflash, here's the weather. Going to be great for the next 3 or 4 days. 70 degrees, sunny, that's your weather. Number two, Patrick Gilroy is here. So I was saying I'm going till midnight. No, 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 no. We have coverage until what, 2 a.m.? 2 a.m. with Gilroy, who's a Celtics freak, and he'll be recapping all things Celtics and Sixers. So if you don't get through on the phones, if you're stuck in traffic leaving the Garden, guess what? Local talk until 2 a.m. The only station in town doing that is WEEI, and we'll do it with me up until midnight, then Gilroy until 2. Do not go anywhere. Sports Radio WEEI, a tale of two nights for your Boston teams. The Red Sox in New York had a 6-5 lead, top of the eighth inning. Chance to add insurance runs, could not do it. Bottom of the eighth inning, Brett Gardner, two-run triple. Aaron Judge, two-run home run. And the Yankees win going away 9-5, now a one-game lead in the AL East over the Red Sox. Over at the Garden, the Celtics had to play a big second half against a Philadelphia 76er team that did not quit, to their credit. And in the end, Celtics advance 114-112. It is the Celtics against LeBron. Best of seven beginning Sunday, 3:30 over at the Garden. Talking about both of those things till midnight. And then our guy Patrick Gilroy will do it until 2 a.m. with your calls here at 617-779-7937. Steve in Connecticut on the Red Sox and Yankees tonight. Hi, Steve.
Hey, Mike. Thanks for taking my call.
You got it, Steve.
Yeah, I just wanted to say at least, you know, David Price didn't pitch tonight. I was afraid, you know, starting a week ago that he was going to blow up and let the Yankees just, you know, trounce on us. But fortunately, Porcello, you know, he went out there. He pitched a pretty good game. It wasn't perfect, but, you know, we were in it. We were in until the end, and the Yankees just got the best of us at the end. You know, it's a long season, and I think we're well-equipped to battle the Yankees all year long. One follow-up question. Real Muto is available from the Marlins. The problem with us, though, is with our farm system.
Yeah, what are they trading, Steve?
We don't really have a lot to trade.
I think trade talk's done. I think with the news today that Groom is out for the season with Tommy John and Michael Chavis suspended for 80 games, they got nothing to trade, Stevie. Every team in baseball is going to have more to trade at the deadline out of their prospect group than you are, which is going to make it tough to find. If you need an eighth inning guy or a bullpen guy, I don't know how you get them, because you are behind the eight ball with basically zero legit prospects to trade this year. None.
Right. So I wanted to ask Sam Travis, Jalen Beeks, Josh Hockamy. Have you heard anything about these three guys? I mean, we know Sam Travis, you know, we know what he is, but.
Well, Jalen Beeks is the guy. The last guy you mentioned, no. Jalen Beeks, yes. Jalen Beeks has been very good at Triple A this year. And the suggestions that, you know, if a Red Sox starter were to go down, they'd go to Jalen Beeks and not Stephen Wright, that they might want Stephen Wright to pitch as a long man out of the pen. But I guess you're talking about trading those guys, but I don't think those guys are the blue chip prospects that Chavis or Groom would be, at least at this point. So that's the issue you're going to have. You want to trade for something, it's going to be tough. Patrick in Rhode Island on the Red Sox. Hey, Patrick.
Hey, Mutt, how you doing?
Good, Patrick. What do you got?
I'm just always curious at this time of the year, why do Red Sox fans freak out about just a simple loss? This is just a loss in May. This always turns out that in the end, it comes down to September. That's when everybody has to be at their best. That's when those games matter. This game today does not mean anything.
Well, I see that this is where we would just disagree philosophically, Patrick, and thanks for your call, because I love the fact that my Red Sox review people go nuts over a game in May. I need my people. I need Red Sox fans to care about games in May, because I care about games in May, especially games like tonight. If it had been just a blowout Red Sox loss and the starting pitcher don't even talk about, okay, well, this was not the case. You battled back. You led 6-5. You squandered opportunities in the top of the inning. You watched Matt Barnes suck in the bottom of the eighth and Craig Kimbrell give up two rockets. And you lost a game you're in position to win. That is a talkable game. And on top of that, it exposes what appears to be, through the first month of the year, the fatal flaw in this Red Sox team, and that is the eighth inning. Oh, by the way, David Price has carpal tunnel. So add that to the pile as well. Not a great night for the Red Sox. A terrific night for the Celtics. battle back, back and forth, second half against a team that did not quit the 76. I thought I had to lose by 20. Dale said it first, and I thought he was right. Celtics by 20. It didn't happen because the 76ers came to play. But in the end, the Celtics advance to an improbable Eastern Conference final. They'll face LeBron and the Cavaliers Sunday at 3:30. The man who is here to talk about that until 2 a.m. is Patrick Gilroy. He's here to take your calls coming up at 617-779-7937. Gilroy now, Kirk and Jerry at 6, and then we'll talk to you with First Pitch leading into Red Sox and Yankees tomorrow night at 6 here on WEEI.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.